right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning that we can begin our Sunday school hour with a time of praise and thankfulness, Lord, to you. The Bible says, Lord, you are a great God, and we believe that, a majestic God. Your mercy endureth forever. You are ever faithful. Your grace and faithfulness is new every morning. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness, that you have revealed yourself to us, that we can know you personally, Lord, and that you're just not some kind of intelligent designer or great force that can be unknown, but Lord, that we can know you personally and walk with you. And Lord, we thank you for your word that you have given us. Thank you for the local church that you have established, that we can assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that safe haven from the world. Lord, we love to have visitors. We love to have folks that are lost here. But Lord, primarily the church is to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray that this church would be known as a church that loves their community, loves to share the gospel, helps hurting people, disciples, and builds up one another in the Lord using our spiritual gifts for your honor and glory. Lord, we have several in our church family. You know the requests that have come through. Mike Lombardo, we're thinking of, that had a recent fall. Pray for strength and healing there, Lord. There wouldn't be any damage and he needs to go to the hospital. But Lord, if so, that he'd go and get that treated and checked out, Lord, so no more damage takes place. Those that are recovering, Lord, from hospital visits and friends and family, things like that, you know the needs, Lord. The unspokens, I pray today you'll meet the need of every heart spiritually, Lord. And in this Sunday school hour and all the classes with our teachers and the morning service as well, we praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Keep praying, of course, for several in our church family. Chris as well, she recovers from her sinus surgery. She's one of our Sunday school teachers, so got some folks filling in for her. We appreciate those that oftentimes are backups, or we have someone sick or not able to do things. We've got to make phone calls, scramble the schedules and things like that. Thank you for all of that. Well, if you'll turn your Bible to one of the first pages, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Now, I'm not speaking a whole lot in Sunday school during the summer. Excuse me, we've had some different men, different speakers. Mike Goble, we've had different ones already. Charlie, next Sunday morning, because it's the Kohlmeyers' final Sunday before they're gone for a while, Shane's going to be doing Sunday school and preaching in the morning service. And then on the 20th, Nathan will be Sunday school. I think the 27th, Mike Goble again. We've got some different men, Jose and some others. So I will just be once in a while in the summer, and then we'll begin, once we get out of the summer, September, we'll get back to a more formal adult class where we start a new series. So I appreciate each of our men and fellows who are filling in a little bit in the summertime. Gives me a little bit of a break, plus gives you an opportunity, men, to be in the Word of God, to study and searching. And we need to, all men should be able to do that. If you're a believer, you ought to be able to take the Word of God, whether it be with your family, or whether it be with a men's prayer breakfast, or whether it be with a men's Bible study, or whether it may even be in a service if you're asked, depending on certain things, be able to open the Word of God and share Christ. You don't have to necessarily have gone to a Bible college or a Bible seminary. Obviously, there are those that God calls specifically and need to be trained, I believe. But I hope each man here, young men, could be able to take the Word of God and share the Scriptures. So today, this is sort of a standalone, I guess you could say, Sunday school lesson. I've got 30 minutes. We'll see if we can sneak it in here. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read. In fact, let's begin at the last verse of chapter 1. There's pew Bibles right in front of everyone. If you came today without a Bible, grab one of those, turn right to the front. I shouldn't have to give you a page number for that one. Genesis chapter number 2. Let's read the very last verse. Remember, there were no chapters. There were no verses. It was just Genesis, all right? Those are certainly helpful. It'd be very hard for me to say there's 50 chapters in Genesis. Go find the spot in there. We're going to be looking at Judah and where he sinned there with his children and Tamar. Well, it's, I don't know, it's like 25 pages in my Bible. You have a little trouble. So obviously it is helpful to have chapter divisions and even verses. But please understand that sometimes you don't have to be locked into that. So last verse of chapter 1. And God saw everything that he had made, everything he had created. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So who started days, 24-hour days, 7-day weeks? God did. God did. God set all that in motion. Stars, planets, sun, moon, rotation. It was the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. rested doesn't mean what we often think it does. We apply it humanly. Boy, I'm tired. We had a busy softball game, busy work day. We need to rest. I need to get some rest. I'm exhausted. Not God. God never gets exhausted. God doesn't get tired. So when it says rested, it means he finished. He ceased. He's done. It's over. It's the idea of it is finished. It's done. All finished. Creation is finished. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested or ceased or finished from all his work which God created and made. I'd like us to look this morning at something that may or may not have ever come across your thoughts or brought in. Is it Saturday, the seventh day, that we should be worshiping the Lord? Or is it Sunday, the first day? Saturday or Sunday? Now, wasn't asked that question very much, but you may be familiar with a Seventh-day Adventist, which is a group or religious group, some could say a cult, made more famous. Probably the most famous there would be Ben Carson. How many know Ben Carson? Ran for president, then served under President Trump. Good man. Don't know if he's a true believer. I've read things. But he'd probably be more one of the more famous today that you would say, Ben Carson, the Seventh-day Adventist. Obviously, they call themselves Seventh-day Adventists because they believe that believers, Christians, should be worshiping the Lord on Saturday, seventh day, or the Sabbath. There is a small group called Seventh-day Baptist. Anybody ever run into any of those? Those are a little more predominant in the South. First time I really heard of those, we had a boy in our youth group, and Anthony, who ended up going to Ambassador for several years, and his grandma, they were Nazarene. They used to attend a Nazarene church right up the road from our church and school. And then she left that and started attending a small little group called the Seventh-day Baptist. And she was very, every time I'd go visit Anthony or a boy, she'd pull out her little thing, give me literature, try to get, she was really dog excited. So it caused a little bit of friction, obviously, between her and her husband and family members. But Seventh-day Baptist, now there's a small meaning, we should be worshiping the Lord on Saturday, the seventh day, and we're not doing it correct today. And so, you know, sometimes believers question that. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you've wondered about it. Sometimes Seventh-day Adventists and Seventh-day Baptists and people like that will try to make you feel guilty or try to make you get a little arguing on what we're doing is wrong here. And we got this from Catholics. You know, the Roman Catholics came up with it. Constantine is the one that did that in the 300s. And so we're just following Catholic tradition. And we ought not do that. And oftentimes the verses used would be the verses I just read. And you know what? If you're honest, if you read those, sometimes it's hard to know exactly how to make sense of that verse. Well, it is obvious that there is something about the seventh day. God created everything in 6 days, said it was very good. But you know, the Bible does say here that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set that apart. Can't deny that. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, I've had discussions with people, both here, both previously in years in the ministry. Good people, many people disagree, have some conversations over that. Now, I hope all of us would say this. We need to know the truth. I mean, if we're doing it wrong, we want to do it the Bible way. All right, we ought not to be obstinate holding on to something. All right, we want to make sure that we're pleasing to God. And so if we're worshiping the Lord on the wrong day today and it doesn't please the Lord, I want to be biblically accurate and get that right. Absolutely. So we ought to be able to search the scriptures and be able to find out exactly what that is. Now, let me give you a brief overview again of Seventh-day Adventism. You may or may not be familiar with that. You'll see them sprinkled around. You'll see their churches and different ones. They're around. They're probably in most towns, all right? The Seventh-day Adventist denomination started in the 1860s, right around the Civil War in America. Seventh day, of course, means Sabbath worship. Adventist refers to their belief that God raised them up. Seventh-day Adventist, the Advent. God raised them up to announce the coming of the Lord. They have about 15 million members worldwide. 15 million, 61,000 churches, and they're very prevalent in a lot of other countries. Our Christian school played another school called Mount Pisgah, which was not far from Asheville. We used to play them regularly. They were a Seventh-day Adventist school. In fact, they had a large area of land that they had. They had a church, they had a school, they had a large facilities. We would play them. could not play them on Friday evenings as normally you play a ball game. Christian schools usually have ball games on Tuesdays and Fridays. All right? Couldn't play them on Fridays because they held to what would be Old Testament Judaism, Seventh Day, that the Sabbath begins Friday evening and ends Saturday evening like an Orthodox Jew would believe. So couldn't play them on Saturday, Friday nights like normal games because they said, no, we don't play, we don't practice, things shut down. Now, interesting, most of their students they had were not local. They almost had like a campus. And most of their students, they had a lot of students from other countries and other ones that would come in, and they would be there on campus being trained, high school and different things like that. And so that was, and then there was a town called Fletcher, North Carolina, not right outside Asheville, that was founded by Seventh-day Adventists. And if you ever went into Fletcher, you begin to realize that because they would have, they had a golf course, used to play a lot with the teams. Couldn't play on Saturday. It was closed on Saturday. You're like, a golf course closed on Saturday? I mean, Saturday, that's like the big day. But it was a lot of the people in the town and a lot of their functions were closed on Saturdays, and then they would have all their things on Sundays because it was founded by, and Fletcher's a fairly large town right outside Asheville. And so we had a lot of that in the area and ran into people soul winning and talking and things like that. Or at the fair booth, we'd have a booth and you'd have people. A lot of times they want to discuss. Not everybody argued. They wanted to discuss that, and they almost always would use this verse and a few other verses. And so if you don't know about Seventh-day Adventism, I don't disagree with Seventh-day Adventism just because of the Saturday Seventh-day. I disagree with it on a lot of issues, all right? Most people associate just that. It started with the Second Coming Movement in the 1800s. A man named William Miller, he was a Baptist preacher. He concluded in 1818 that Christ would return in 1843. He preached that like even today a lot of people do. And of course, Christ did not come. He changed the date to 1844. Still didn't happen. So then he stopped making predictions, all right? However, some of his followers formed a group called Seventh-day Adventists. And they began to do that. A man named James White, some others, began practicing Sabbath keeping in 1844. That's when it sort of started. And they began publishing it in writings and books, hence the beginning of that group. Also followed the visions of a young lady, a 17-year-old teenage girl named Ellen Harmon. She claimed that God showed her visions in 1844, and that in that vision, Jesus entered the Holy of Holies in heaven, all right? And in what's called investigative judgment, that's a foundational doctrine of Seventh-day Adventist Church. And she then married James White and became known as Ellen White. Almost anybody that knows anything about Seventh-day Adventism associates it with Ellen White. She's pretty much what we would call the founder. She considered herself a prophetess, and she claimed over 2,000 visions she received in her lifetime and that recorded and wrote those down, that God was giving her new revelation. We've already discussed that, all right? Plus, the religion is started and founded by a woman, which is against Scripture as well, all right? And so they were the main leaders of all that. She believed in her vision, and here's one of the key things, and I'm spending time on this for a reason. She said that Christ began investigating the records of every person to determine who would be saved and who would be lost. She saw this in her vision that Christ ascended, went to the Holy of Holies. She then said that she was revealed that the mark of the beast, which we think about in Revelation, the mark of the beast would be Sunday worship. That's the mark of the beast. And those who worshiped on Sunday would be punished. She said the ones who kept the commandments of God refers to those who keep the Sabbath on the last days. This is where Seventh-day Adventists get their name. They claim to be the church of the last days that keep the Sabbath based on Genesis, and that prepares the way for Christ's return. Therefore, we would be in sin. We are not keeping the Sabbath, and that's going to be the mark, all right? So you don't often hear that, but that is their foundational belief. Anybody can look that up as you study Seventh-day Adventism or Ellen White's own visions and her literature that she wrote out, all right? Do I disagree with Seventh-day Adventism on that point? Absolutely. I disagree with them on a lot of issues. Salvation, they believe in grace, plus you must keep the law, especially the Ten Commandments. They believe in Sabbath keeping, soul sleep. They don't believe you directly go to heaven or hell. They believe that the lost will be burned up in hell. It's not everlasting. You just get annihilated. They believe Ellen White is a prophetess and was a prophetess. They don't always preach vegetarianism, but they do. They've changed that a little bit recently. They will not say that you have to do that, but they'll say it's superior, and they'll look down on sometimes your diet and things like that, which we know the Scripture says God prepared all of that. We can tell. I'm not going to get into all that. But I wanted to give you a quick background on Seventh-day Adventism and Seventh-day Sabbaths, Baptists, because though small in number, that is a belief. And if you just use this verse here, you would have trouble explaining Genesis 2:3. What does it mean? Because it's obvious that there is something special about the seventh day. God blessed it. He sanctified it. All right? It's not said that for any other day. All right? And so what is the answer here? Here we are today. We're in 2023. Are we worshiping on the wrong day? Are we following something that the church began to do after the book of Acts because of Roman Catholics? Are we following ancient traditions and not obeying God? Are we worshiping on the wrong day? What day is it? Is it the seventh day? Today we call that Saturday. You won't see Saturday in the Bible, obviously. It's the seventh day. Or is it the first day, which today? By the way, interesting today. Sunday is what day of the week? First day of the week. What does the world like to put Sunday in as part of the weekend? No, the end of the week is Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. You begin, not, oh, it's part of the weekend. We're going to take the weekend off. No. Where did the Sunday get in part of that at? That's not, no, Sunday's the first day of the week. The weekend, no. You can see how that's for another thing for you to chew on, all right? But Sunday. So what is it here, all right? Well, I'm going to give you what I hold to and what I believe through careful study of the Scripture. Maybe brand new to you. I would say the average Christian has never studied it out, ever. I won't try to prove that right or wrong by asking you to stand. But I would say the average believer has never really studied it from the Bible. It may have read a few little things here and there. All right? Which is it? It's important to know that. All right? Or there's the other belief, either is fine. They're both fine. Just as long as you're worshiping the Lord. All right? So there's a group over here that says it's this day. Another group is over here on this day. Hey, doesn't matter. We're all worshiping the same God, same thing. Or is that okay? Well, we have the reference here in Genesis 2 about the seventh day. A lot of the confusion, I believe, is because we don't understand what the Sabbath really is. If I said, can you tell me the first time in the Bible the Sabbath is ever mentioned? You shout it out, you probably have a good guess, some of you. First time the word Sabbath. You can... Exodus 16. Time of who? Moses. Moses. Creation is 4,000 B.C., roughly. Moses is 1,500. Whoa! 2,500 years from creation to Moses, and Moses is 80, the first time you'll ever hear the word or see the word Sabbath. And by the way, Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. Or Shabbat, as a Jew would say, Shabbat. Sabbath means cease. It doesn't mean Saturday. All right? So today people say the Christian Sabbath. That's not right. Sunday's the Sabbath. No, you're misunderstanding what Sabbath means. Sabbath is the ceasing, all right? Stopping, nothing, no work. This is Sabbath, Shabbat, all right? First time you'll see the word Sabbath is Exodus 16. Let's go to that. Next book over, Exodus 16. So for 2,500 years, there's no mention of a Sabbath. The only mention is, yes, it does say that God blessed the seventh and he sanctified it. But guess what? There's no recording from the Holy Spirit of anybody keeping any Sabbath. Not Adam, Seth, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We have no record of anybody ever doing anything on the seventh day. There's no mention, ever. We have record that they did sacrifices and did feasts and did sin offerings and tithed. And a lot of things we have recording that, but we don't have anything. Not one time will you ever see one thing. Not one time is there commanded or even shown in Scripture. Now, that doesn't say that they didn't, I understand. But never once will you ever see it, all right? Here's why that's important. Because from creation to Moses, or we could say Abraham. Now, Abraham's the father of the Jews. We understand that. But the Jewish nation itself really didn't begin until Moses and the people coming out of Egypt. Yes, Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation through Isaac and Jacob and the tribes. But as a nation, as a whole, we would say the nation began when they were delivered out of Egypt and became a nation, and God gave them laws, and Moses was the lawgiver and began to come out, all right? That's what we're saying. So we got to understand that some of this ties in with dispensations, all right? Understanding how God works with, from creation to Abraham, it was 2,000 years of just man. Then from Abraham, God said, one man, one nation, God's chosen people, Israel, to record the scriptures, the oracles of God, from which will come the Messiah. Now today, it's almost like this. Israel is still here, but most of the people don't see Israel. We're in the church age. And so the church is here, and a lot of people think the church has replaced Israel. No. Israel's still back here. All right? God's not done with Israel. All right? We're in the church age, but the church is going to be removed. And then all Bible prophecy focuses back on Israel. God's not giving up on Israel. So you hear replacement theology, where the church replaces Israel. And people say, oh, look, all the promises that went to Israel are now the church. So that's incorrect doctrine. God's not finished with Israel. All right? Israel has to repent. All of prophecy deals with that. And so we have the church age. Now, you can't mix up the promises to Israel necessarily with the church and intermingle those. That's where most people get confused, with dispensations and applying the Bible and truths. And so I say all to say that, to say this, God has all mankind. Then it was Israel. And then because of Israel's rebellion and sin, we have the church instituted in the last 2,000 years. We're in the church age. Church will be removed. It could be today. All right? Then things will go back and different things like that. So it's important to see that. Here's my point. My point is this, and my firm belief is the Sabbath was never given to mankind, only to Israel. Now, I know for some people that's, you know, because you associate the Sabbath as, well, we worship today on the first day of the week. That's Sabbath. And it's not wrong for people to say, hey, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And you're referring to today. But Sunday, the Lord's Day, is not a Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. We're going to see that. We probably won't get to it. To be part two. All right? You say, what do you mean by that? Exodus chapter 16, the first time you will ever see the word Sabbath, Shabbat, in the Bible is Exodus 16. The children of Israel have been delivered out of Egypt. The plagues have happened. They've already crossed the Red Sea. They're making their journey, and in Exodus 16, first time you'll see it here, is dealing with manna, all right? They're complaining about food. God gives them manna, and in verse 23, notice what it says, Exodus 16, 23, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. And then and you can read the rest of that chapter, and you'll see Sabbath mentioned. And that, remember, you're going to have 6 days where manna comes down, and on the sixth day, you're supposed to take double, because then on the next day, there's not going to be any, dealing with the Sabbath, the Sunday, or the Saturday, and so take double. And so you start seeing some instructions here on what's called the Holy Sabbath, all right? Now, go over to, you don't need to go to Exodus 20, that's the Ten Commandments. What's the fourth commandment? Remember, the Sabbath, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, seventh day, holy unto the Lord. I understand all that. I understand all that. Given to Israel, given to the Jews. You say, prove that. I will prove that. Exodus 31. Go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. I don't think it gets any clearer than this. Take a look at Exodus 31, verse 12. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, so this is God, the authority, speaking unto Moses, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verse 13, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you, Israel, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. And then he gives some grounds. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the rest. Holy to the Lord, whosoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, does it get any clearer than this? It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. By the way, this is true forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You say, Pastor, what about back in Genesis? All it simply says in Genesis is that God sanctified, made that day special for himself. For himself. Never once was there any command. Never once was there anybody ever keeping it. Why would he have to tell Israel to keep the Sabbath if it had always been? If everybody practiced Sabbath, why would it have to be a special sign? Why would he have to teach them that? Why would it have to be revealed to them that it is a special one between me and Israel forever? By the way, it's repeated. I think this is excellent. Nehemiah chapter 9, if you're willing to turn there. You're jumping ahead a little bit here. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right before the Job and Psalms. Take a look at Nehemiah 9. Everybody turn. I love to hear the pages. So you'll just believe me up here and say, well, I'm just going to say whatever he says is good to me. No. No. And you know, it's okay if you disagree with me. I'd simply say this, search the scriptures. If you have an opinion on the days and you've never studied the scriptures, then don't come yet. You don't want my opinion, I don't want yours. Search the scriptures. The scriptures. Not all the outside sources. Don't give me Seventh-day Adventist books. I've got those. All right? Don't give me the literature that someone else. No, I don't need that stuff. Let's go to the scriptures. Search the scriptures, all right? How about Nehemiah 9? I think I said 6. Nehemiah 9:14. I think this is a powerful verse. This is going back in the middle of a prayer, going over Jewish history. And it says, verse 14, and made us known unto them. You can go back very carefully. You can see that's Israel. Made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath. Made known to them. They didn't know it. It had never been practiced. It had never been a precept or law. God had never revealed that. It was for the nation of Israel. He made known unto them through Moses this day. Do you think the Gentiles practiced that? No. There's no record that anybody kept the Sabbath outside of Israel. And most of the time they didn't, as you know their history. No, the Gentiles didn't do it. The Israelites weren't, they weren't supposed to go into the kingdoms and make the Gentiles keep the Sabbath. It was for them. And by the way, it is a perpetual thing. It's everlasting. And I don't have all the answers for that. Craig Hartman and some Jewish men could probably tell us more on that. It makes it clear from Scripture, though, that will even be in the new heaven and new earth that Israel will keep that. I don't understand all of that and how that works, but it's a special thing for them between them and the Lord. You could go back in Leviticus and see it. So let me quickly summarize some things. I'm going to get to the New Testament. No command was ever given to man to observe the seventh day. No record of anybody keeping the seventh day from Adam to Moses. The seventh-day Sabbath was given to Israel as a sign between God and Israel. No Gentile nation has ever shown keeping or observing the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, when you get to the book of Acts, obviously, the Bible is a Jewish book primarily. History of the Jews, the history of them, the nations, the Old Testament, the prophets. You get into the New Testament, now it's the Gospels. Christ was a Jew, he kept the Sabbath, absolutely. The disciples and apostles, they kept it, absolutely. They kept it. But then we get into the book of Acts, which is a transitional book. It takes place when? After what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Christ fulfilled all of the law. All Old Testament law, ceremonial, civil, and moral law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And basically, if you know your New Testament, the law was abolished. It was no longer needed. Christ had fulfilled it, and has done his task. Man was always under the law. As a believer today, we're not under the law. Now, some people don't know their scriptures, and you might say, I don't know about this. All right? Our standard today is not the law. Our standard today, some people don't like this, is not even the Ten Commandments. Our standard is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's not to conform to a set of laws. Now, interesting, in the New Testament, are any of the Ten Commandments repeated? How many? 9. Fourth commandment, never repeated in the New Testament. Interesting. You'll see many references to thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. No fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath, ever repeated in the New Testament. Now, that has to do with what we're studying on the body of faith. the faith, the body of truth given to the apostles and the prophets. Well, they were given by the Lord, and they're to pass it on to us, the true church. Now, obviously, if that was something we were to be doing, would not Paul, would not the apostles, would not they have corrected the early churches? Would we not have seen that being commanded? Never commanded. All right? And in the book of Acts, as you have now the transition, it's no longer Jews. What's going to happen? This was the huge dilemma in Acts 15. The church was only Jews. What was one of the problems? They were still keeping most of the Old Testament. Law of Moses. Feasts, circumcision, unclean foods. And that was abolished. Don't you remember what happened with Paul, with Peter on the rooftop with Cornelius? What was his visions? Anybody remember Acts 10? Remember his vision of all these animals that were you weren't allowed to eat in the Old Testament. And Peter said, "No, Lord, I have never one time in my entire life, I'm an adult, I've never ever broken the law when it comes to unclean animals." What Leviticus says, never. And the Lord said, they're all clean. It's all abolished. The idea there was Gentile. All right? And so those were broken down. And so what's going to happen when all of a sudden Gentiles are getting saved? How's the church going to be run? Are we going to say, okay, well, you're saved, but you still have to go back and obey all the Old Testament? Remember, that was the schism. No, you got to keep the law of Moses. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep the Sabbath. The Gentiles are getting saved. Everybody's going to keep the Sabbath? We're going to worship in the temple? We're going to worship in synagogues? We're going to keep all the feasts? No. That's all abolished. You say, well, I don't know about that. Prove that, all right? Acts 15, we're about done. I didn't get as far as I'd like. I have a lot more scripture. I got to get to the main point here. I got about 3 minutes. Acts 15. 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament, never the fourth. In all the apostolic teachings, writings, and doctrines of Pauline epistles, the Sabbath is mentioned 3 times. Acts is, of course, the key. The Catholic Church did not come up with Sunday worship. The early church, even in the book of Acts, was beginning to worship the Lord on the first day of the week. And it was never called the Christian Sabbath. It's always called the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. The first day of the week. All right? Acts chapter 15 is the big chapter. I would encourage you to read this. This was the biggest council business meeting you ever saw. All right? The church is growing. The Gentiles are being born again by the hundreds and the thousands. But people can't agree. Over on this side, we have a big count. Everybody over here is Jewish. Everybody on this side is Gentile. What are we going to do? Do we make the Gentiles keep all the Jewish laws? And if they don't? So they have a big council meeting. Big names are there. Peter, James, the brother of Christ, Paul, Barnabas. What's going on? Paul's he's the apostle of the Gentiles. We got to decide what we're going to do. Hey, great to have you folks in the kingdom of God. Why are you not worshiping on the Saturday? How come boys aren't circumcised? How come you're not observing all the Old Testament feasts? Hey, why are you eating wrong, unclean animals? You got to do all that stuff. So they have the big meeting. They get the word of testimony from Paul and Barnabas. James, the brother of Christ, is the main leader. And what do they decide on? What is their sentence? Verse 19, Acts 15, 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them. Here's what they're going to write. All right, here's what they need to do. They should abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, some people like to use verse 21. They take out of context. You have to study this. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. You go back over. They send a letter to all the Gentiles. And what does it say? Verse 28. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. That's all you need to do. Now, if the apostles, who were given direct revelation from Christ and the Holy Spirit, were in charge of the body of truth, met and did what the Holy Spirit wanted, and it was supposed to be on Saturday, then they would have said that. Keep yourself from idols, things strangled, and you better make sure, because this has been decreed forever. but it was for Israel only. And so it never was. And so what do you see as you turn a few pages? Acts chapter 20, you see the transition. Did Paul go into the synagogues on the Sabbath? Of course he did. He was a missionary to the Jews first. He would go into cities, he would go on Sabbath days. But what about the early church? They began to transition. The early church did not go to the temple. The early church didn't go to the synagogues. The early church met in homes and outside. When did they meet? Acts 20. Look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples, that doesn't mean the 12, that's the believers. When the believers came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, when you gather together on the first day of the week, talking about offerings. John, what did John say when he was on the island of Patmos, Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the, some of you know that song, I was on the Spirit on the Lord. The Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day. You see that great transition to the Lord's Day. I didn't get everything in there, but we say, well, why? Here's what a lot of people say this, and I'll finish with this. We didn't have any authority to change it. See, we changed it. Nowhere did Jesus command. No one changed anything. It was only for the Jews. That's the issue. No, see, you changed it. You guys have changed it. Where do you have a command in the Bible saying you're supposed to worship on Sunday? There is no change. The Sabbath, Saturday, was only for Israel. What day did Christ rise from the dead? First day of the week. What day did the church begin? Most people don't know that. Pentecost, Sunday. What day did the Holy Spirit come down? First day of the week, Sunday. The church began on Sunday. The Holy Spirit came down on Sunday. The church was born on Sunday. Pentecost was on Sunday. Christ's resurrection was on the first day of the week. And so the church, as believers, no Jew, nor Greek, nor Gentile, but one on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. Don't give the Catholics credit for that. They didn't do any of that, all right? Wasn't Constantine. You can see even in the Bible, and if you read early church history, which Constantine was not till 300s, you can see that for, it was always on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. So, is it wrong to say, hey, you're out mowing. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. I've done that, you've done that. That's another Sunday school lesson. Do we need to keep any of those things on the Lord's Day? You have Christian liberty. What exactly? Now, if some of what I said, you said, I've never heard that. I don't know with it. Great. Search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. Make sure you're not just a quick skimmer. You don't even understand the Old Testament law, what the New Testament says about the law. That's for another message. What about the Ten Commandments? That's a whole other one. We got them hanging out here. We got to have them in every school. Are you saying we're not supposed to obey those? I didn't say that. But what was the purpose of all of that? Do you understand? Have you ever studied that from the Bible, the law, New Testament, Romans, some of those kind of things? The Christian standard is Jesus Christ. 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated. We have a higher standard than that, though, all right, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ through the Word of God, all right? And that's for another time, another lesson. Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, we aren't better than others, but Lord, I believe that if we're going to be biblically accurate, Lord, I believe that your people, the church, are to worship you on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Lord, I pray that if there's those that maybe aren't familiar with this, have never studied, never heard it, Lord, may they just do some investigating. Study the Sabbath from the Scriptures. Look at it. Understand it. Pray over it. Search the Scriptures, Lord. Have some good dialogue. Lord, I'm thankful that we can worship you together and assemble together on this, the Lord's Day, the day that you rose from the dead and conquered death, sin, and the grave, a day of creation, new birth, the day the church began, the Holy Spirit came down. Lord, we gathered together today to worship you. May you be pleased with our worship. Lord, may we desire to know you and to love you and to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, lead us ever closer, Lord, to sanctification through your Son. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.